Hello, everybody. Welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. And yeah, this is one of the another double feature two episodes that we're covering from the Bad Batch this week.
Bad Batch.
I'm your host, Bennett, here joined today by Chuck, no Omari.
Sad face.
But I get it. Summer is a liminal space between existence and non-existence, so we'll let it slide. and I was absent from a podcast this week too, so like, can't really cast stones. Man, I don't even have my Invisalign in. Stones. And oh man, the beautiful sound, Chuck. The beautiful sound of fireworks is already adorning our beautiful, beautiful city.
Oh yeah.
Even though we're still
about 2 days 40, out,
48 hours away from the big four. Which is probably when this will come out, now that I think about it. I've been uploading on Sundays very quietly. I just forget to post it to my Instagram.
And then I end up seeing it on like Tuesday. And I'm like,
I know. Oh,
and
on Tuesday, I'll be like, hey, go check it out. But it's just, I started that writing internship. It's been taking up a lot of time, more than I expected. But it's a lot of fun. So this week we're talking about episode 9 of The Bad Batch, Bounty Lost, and episode 10 just came out. I don't think it had a title when we started watching it. Let's see here. Bad Batch episode 10 title is Common Ground. Yeah, that makes sense. I had no idea that they leaked episode titles. We'll talk about that later. You know, let's talk about Bounty Lost. This one was really interesting to me. And I immediately want to get your ear. Okay, spoilers, folks. I immediately want to get your thoughts on this. We had the Cad Bane reveal. There were about three times in the episode I thought we were going to get a huge Boba Fett introduction. Because they mentioned him, much like they invoke him in The Mandalorian, and then he doesn't show up. But there were like a couple of moments where I feel like there was intentional hesitation of revealing who a character was around the corner, so on and so forth. Do you think we're headed towards another Boba Fett reveal?
I'm kind of... I don't know if I can give you a definite answer here, because I don't know if they want to push a ton, because I mean, we're getting Book of Boba Fett later this year.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I don't know if they want to continue to I don't know if they want to, you know what I mean? You don't want to oversaturate Boba Fett, I guess, in a way.
Sure.
But also the fact that with how much, because it was in this episode or is it the episode prior, that they spoke about how Omega had like prime DNA.
Episode 9.
So I feel like that part you're kind of already leaning towards at some point seeing Boba Fett or having some sort of flashback or something, or something that ties in with the Fetts, right? So I don't know. I think now that I fleshed that out, I think more so it's like, I guess for me it's like 60-40 that we see Boba Fett in this series. Because I mean, if we look at it, you know, Omega being like prime DNA, then you've got the Bad Batch, which are these enhanced clones. I feel like it would make sense. I get, but it also, I mean, there'd be a lot of Boba Fett content, which I don't think people would complain about necessarily. But also, we know that the Star Wars fandom tends to complain about interesting things. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I'm leaning 60-40 now that we'd see him.
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought that we would get some sort. I knew we were going to get a Boba Fett name drop. I mean, we're talking so much about clones, and then Omega was kind of an obvious seg into the Boba Fett discussion, but I digress. I don't think necessarily we have to see him. I thought if we were gonna see him, it'd be in this episode. Like, there was that moment where, okay, the first moment that I thought he was going to show up was when Cad Bane was looking for Fennec, and he turned that corner into the big foggy hallway, and they kind of had the scene play out in a double shot way where he'd take a step and then cut to Fennec, and then he'd take another step and it would cut to Fennec. I thought he was going to turn that corner, and at the end of the hallway, Bobo would be standing there, and it would have been like a fake out. Instead, it was a thermal detonator, which blew him to sky high, which was still very clever by Fennec. And then the second time was when they saw Tawn Wei dead on the ground. I thought Bobo might have killed her, which wouldn't have made a ton of sense because Tawn Wei was his caretaker. So I wouldn't see much reason for him to kill her. So that might have been a little interesting. But
I didn't really expect to see her die. Like, that wasn't something I expected.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. She's a pretty long-standing... I think she's the first Kaminoan we meet. So, kind of interesting that she dies in such a quick, jarring way.
Yeah, just like, oh, you're dead now.
And then the last time I thought he was going to show up, and the time that I thought he was going to show up the most, was when Omega's pod gets attached to a ship, and then it opens up, and they don't show you who's, you know, standing in the ship immediately, and it's Wrecker. So for me, it was just like these moments of hesitation that kind of pointed me towards thinking, oh, maybe we'll get Boba in this episode. But I feel like now that this window is passed, and I feel like the Bounty Hunter arc is kind of wrapped up after those three episodes featuring them. I think that's kind of wrapped up. So I'd probably lean 40-60, 40% he shows up, 60% he doesn't. I think he could still, but if he does, I feel like they kind of missed the window to do it, which is perfectly fine. I don't think he needs to be in it. I think I want to get your opinion on this one, because I'm a little tired of the cameo of the week formula that they're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, who's going to be next? Who is it going to be?
Because pretty much every episode, like, you can go back to episode one, Saw Gerrera, 2, cut, 3, I don't remember what episode 3 was. What was that? Replacements? Tarkin. 4. I can't remember every episode. Oh, 4. Wasn't that the Martez? No, it wasn't. Whatever. You know what I mean.
Well, they're in there, and then Rex is in there.
Everybody
knows how we feel about Rex. Love Rex.
Episode 4 of The Bad Batch might be one of the few that doesn't actually have... Oh, no, that's Fennec Shand. Duh. So, it's just like we have these consistent... Oh, here's a character, remember them. Oh, here's a character, remember them. Oh, here's a character, remember them. Even cameos that just don't make sense, like Bib Fortuna. Like, what was that? We talked about it.
Yeah, that wasn't something that I was like, oh... Hey, Bib Fortuna. I mean, okay, to be fair, who's ever said, oh, man, I really wish I see Bib Fortuna in this?
God, I'm just getting a hankering to see Bib.
No disrespect to the character, of course, but...
Yeah, it's just he was a little worthless in this show. I mean, even his moment in The Mandalorian was a little more impactful.
Yeah.
So I just didn't jive with... I don't jive with these cameos, so how do you feel about them?
Yeah, no, I agree. Because, I mean, if it's... I mean, the Martez sisters, I mean, do you really need that? I mean, I guess it saved them a little bit from... Because, again, Bennett has not seen season 7, so he doesn't know about that whole arc.
I watched The Bad Batch. I watched the first episode.
Okay, well, you need more than that.
I know.
That's fine, and I mean... Obviously, we have Rex, so I understand that a little bit. And I feel like we're going to revisit sort of what he's doing. Because they're being like, I think we talked about this last episode or whatever. It was like, you know, he's talking to somebody who's in charge here and what's going on. And do we see him down the road, which I think we do. But like, you know, Bib Fortuna, again, don't really necessarily need something like that. Who else? Martez sisters. Who am I missing here? Who do you also talk about?
Cut. Saw Gerrera.
Cut was kind of interesting. I mean, Saw Gerrera, not really something I expected, and I wouldn't say that... Yeah, no, not really huge on it. I feel like we will have a couple more of those, to be quite honest. I think we see some more people, but yeah, I don't know. Not like I'm going crazy over them.
I think if we see more people, they have to be as impactful as Cad Bane and Fennec Shand.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be characters and they have to be worth something to the story. Because, like, the Martez twins, or sisters, again, they're not twins. I think we screwed that up a couple episodes
Ooh.
ago. The Martez sisters, they really, at the end of the day, weren't all that important beyond the episode. They tipped Rex off to their location, and then Rex was a one episode experience. We will probably come again, but as of right now, they're pretty worthless. And then you look at kind of you look at the entire thing with Cut. I don't know. They just all feel a little empty. So if they are going to go the route of introducing more characters from this established Filoni verse, whatever, they have to make them impactful characters. Because quite honestly, somebody like Rex could easily be a main character in this show, right? For whatever reason, he's like this ephemeral cameo that is just there for a brief moment and then disappears into the fog, quite literally.
He plays a part in the chip, and then that's it's like, oh, okay.
Which is, I mean, it's pretty huge, don't get me wrong, but I wish he played more of a part. I think it's something that Star Wars does badly just in general.
Cameos?
Yeah, like the whole idea of we need a shoehorn in this cameo so the audience can go, oh wow, look at that guy. No way, it's him. You know what I mean?
Now I'm trying to think about more of that.
I mean, and start with the sequel trilogy, Wedge Antilles at the very end of episode 9, where he's like, nice shot, Lando, and then they just
Oh.
don't talk about it. Or in episodes 1, 2, and 3, the entire Jedi Council. I mean, not so much a cameo, just a complete underdeveloped hodgepodge of characters that mean nothing.
Yeah, until we get, the actual Clone Wars series, and then they become fleshed out. But
And
outside
I
of
think
that, it's like,
like the biggest issue with Star Wars right now is these characters who are just in and out rotating door while the main cast does their own thing. And I think if you can find new established leads that are charming enough to hold their own, i.e., Omega, Sid, and I mean, for the most part, the entire Bad Batch,
Wrecker.
and just, spend special attention to them and build them up as characters while having their antagonists and their co-workers and things like that be original. You don't need to rely co-workers, I don't really know. You don't need to rely on the shock factor of, oh wow, no way, Cut? Awesome. Yeah. Like, it's just unneeded to me.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Now, to go back to Cad Bane, he's probably the best introduction to the series, I think, so far. He's really shaken up the entire dynamic of the show. He's made Hunter even more paranoid and more isolationist towards Omega and the rest of the group. He's just ruined their sense of security in a way that I think really violated Hunter's confidence. Already Hunter was like overprotective, you know what I mean? Like, well, we can't go help Rex because we got to protect ourselves. And oh, we can't go help these people, or we can't do this, or we can't do that, just because we need to take care of ourselves. And part of it really is, from what I understand and from what I got from the first episode of season 7 today, they were already a class apart, right? Like the Bad Batch was already separated from the rest of the clones. So this further of his kind of paranoia towards the clones and towards the Empire, I mean, it makes sense that he's reacting the way he is, right?
Yeah.
So I think Cad Bane reinforcing that was really cool. I think I'd argue that he's probably the best. He was probably one of the better ideas to introduce, and I'm not certain he comes back because I think he's played his part. He probably will still want that money, so I can see him coming back in the last couple episodes, but we'll see.
Him and his funny hat.
And his little droid.
Is what do we get a name on the damn droid?
Toto.
Oh yeah, Toto.
You're in trouble now. I love him. I like that little guy. I don't like a lot of droids just because, well, I don't like protocol droids in particular. But like little stupid droids, I love them. Gonk, beautiful.
Gonky.
I love Gonky. Pound for pound, probably my favorite droid ever now, because he just kind of sits there in the ship and goes gonk. Beautiful, if you ask me.
We're just now Gonk podcast.
Yep, Gonk Watch. Welcome to Gonk Watch.
What did Gonk different Gonk cameos throughout the Star Wars universe?
I think it's funny because they're just like a walking power outlet. That's
pretty much.
Like whole deal. They're just a portable charger. Like you're playing fucking Pokemon Go. And you're like,
oh, just walk around with Gonky.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my Gonk out. Ooh, that sounds... Yeah,
that'd be so... Oh, I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay, yeah, you do your thing.
I was going to say, if I was able to just walk around with a Gonk droid, that'd be pretty damn sick.
I'd do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone's like, hey, what is that? It's like, hey buddy, back off. This is my Gonk droid. Right? This is
my Gonk droid. Back off. Other than that episode... What was that?
I was saying, you gotta hit my Pokestops.
Absolutely. And nah, and you know, you can set it up so it like gonks when you're nearby one, so you don't have to be on your phone the entire time.
How much would it cost to make one of those?
To buy an entire Gonk droid? I don't know. Let's see.
Just make it like a legitimately large walking portable charger. Could be done.
No, I've seen them at Emerald City.
Be like, hey, can this thing charge my phone? Feel like I'd like to buy one of these.
Droid. The real. Oh, I just can't find one. It's probably freaking expensive.
Pay a couple thousand dollars just to have a really large portable charger.
Absolutely.
That makes noise.
There's a couple of YouTube tutorials about building a Gonk, so maybe we'll have to maybe we'll have to get in there. So, and aside from Cad Bane and Toto, his beautiful droid, who's just a little man, and Fennec Shand returning for her second appearance in the series, it was just a really well-paced episode. It had the foot on the gas the entire time. And the fight scenes were fantastic. Like, whole thing was basically one big hallway fight. And I'm a sucker for a hallway fight. So to be able to pull that off in an animated format and keep it interesting and keep it fresh with how they're fighting each other was a really smart blend of gunplay, of fist fighting, of thermal detonators every 2 minutes. Like, it was just a smart way to parse out getting through this weird Cloud City like tower. I gotta admit, I was a little bothered by the lack of Bad Batch in that episode, though. Like, they were in the bookends of the episode, they didn't really do anything. I was kind of thrown off by that. And I mean, I guess it's fine. It kind of reminded me of that Mandalorian episode where they just didn't follow the Mandalorian for a little bit. They only followed Greef Karga and Cara Dune. But this was...
Oh, yeah. And then we get to see the Mithril again.
Ooh.
He was in that episode, right?
He was. He sure was.
It was a stupid...
A little too much.
He got a job. It's like, oh, hey, you're back? Didn't really realize they were going to bring you back.
I really hope there's not a Mithril in this series. You know what I mean? Not like the race, but just like, I hope there's not a character that I'm just like, oh no.
You have no significant value. You're just,
if, hey, listen, if Jar Jar shows up, because hey, we know Dave likes his Jar Jar.
And to be quite honest, he hasn't made an appearance in quite a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Yellowstone. We're kind of due.
His time is due.
Like, it's been due, and we all know it's due, but we haven't really been openly talking about it because talking about it is scary. Like, Because he hasn't shown up since, what, season 6 of the Clone Wars? I think he was very briefly in season 7, from what I gather. So if he hasn't had a spoken line since 2014, we're 7 years separated from Jar Jar Binks.
We're knocking on the door here.
We're knocking on that door. And let's think, episode 3 to the Clone Wars, that was 7 years. We are.
Uh-oh.
We're primed. We're primed for a Jar Jar entrance. So, I don't know what to tell you guys, but it's going to happen soon.
Who has the bounty on Omega?
He said me.
You said big doo-doo.
Oh, God. It'd be really bad. I'd be really upset. But I don't know how viable the rest of the series is with the Cad Bane inclusion. But to finish my point there, I think I really liked this episode. I think it's not my favorite in the series so far, because the one prior to this one was pretty rockin'. I'd give this one still like a 7.5.
I agree with that. It had some good solid scenes in it. It wasn't my favorite. It came off of a good episode too.
Yeah.
So I can't complain about that. So yeah, I believe a 7.5 is pretty accurate.
So this next episode, episode 10, Common Ground, which we apparently knew the title to like a week ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they leaked all the title names for the last 6 episodes.
Oh, do we want to discover that?
Why not? They're not. I'm looking at them right now. They're not like...
Nothing given away.
Nothing too giving away.
Very vague.
So Common Ground, this episode is... It was kind of interesting. I mean, it was interesting to me because it was just a pretty standard Star Wars adventure. Mm-hmm. Not in a bad way, not in a great way. Just kind of a, yeah, this is Star Wars. We start off with this, I think his name's Singh. I don't know his first name. I didn't catch it. But he's a senator who used to be a separatist. So he was opposed to the Republic, and basically the Bad Batch gets contracted to save him. Already a pretty political episode. A political episode with my favorite Star Wars line ever: leave out the politics, we have a job to do. That's already, I can already feel it's gonna get memed to all hell. But I think my first real thing is this show is starting to really show how terrifying the Empire was in its beginning days. It shows just how fear-mongering and how
insane. Shows of force.
Yeah, their shows of force were insane. The excessiveness of their quashing any sort of rebellion is insane. And I don't know, do you want to comment on that whole ideology that has kind of cropped up recently that Star Wars isn't political?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that needs to be said about that idea, that concept that Star Wars isn't political, either you're stupid or you really can't tell what's going on in simple situations. I mean, tell me where there isn't like politics in a overlying story, like over any trilogy. Tell me where the politics are not. Tell me over the Clone Wars series.
Yeah.
I mean, there are several episodes within that throughout the seasons that are, there are a couple scattered around that are just politics. That's all that is. So again, if you're telling yourself that, you're just either stupid or you're trying to write your own narrative.
Exactly. And I think that's what a lot of this is. It's like trying to basically gerrymander this writing into fitting your ideology, and it's just not going to work. Star Wars is at its core anti-fascist. I won't use a shorthand for that because I guess that's a little more controversial. But the regime of the Empire, it's a fascist regime, right? So the fact that people even try to back off of that is ridiculous. And let me let you in on a secret as well. Part of the Empire is based on the American government. When George Lucas was writing it, The Empire was based off of the American government during the Vietnam War, partially. Obviously, a lot of Nazi Germany comparisons can be made there too. But like, again, and this is not me just like pulling shit out of my ass. This is like a well-known George Lucas interviews where he has disclosed that a lot of this was based off of the American government. I think he even said the Emperor is based off of Richard Nixon. So, you know,
looks wise,
take him a zero. No, I don't think looks wise.
That's what the makeup's for.
He really said, "I'm not a crook." So yeah, you can't. It's a bullshit narrative, and you are just trying to restructure Star Wars to fit what you believe. That's okay. It is a series for everybody, but just don't try to say it's not political. I don't think it necessarily reaches to any left or right side of the aisle. I really truly believe that inclusion isn't on either side of the aisle, so I don't think Star Wars is trying to do something like that. However, can't say it's not political, because it does deal with the politics of fascism and rebellion. So there you go. And like Chuck said, there's a lot of episodes about the weird socio-political landscape of Star Wars. We might have to do a whole episode on that someday, because it is complicated, and I think it is flawed. I'll admit that it's weird and doesn't exactly fit truth, but and it's not exactly consistent either, but
there are several episodes that I could list as like Padme politics episodes. I'm not even just because it's her talking to different senators. It's like, oh, you're corrupt, senator.
And listen, they might not even be good episodes. In fact, I'd say they're not really good episodes.
No, I mean,
I don't think Star Wars is at its best when it's focusing on politics.
No.
And my only last thing to say about that is please stop glorifying the Empire. Please. Yeah. I get it's kind of funny to be like, ooh, I'm on the bad guy side because they look cool and their ships are better and they're more fun to play in Battlefront. Because they are. Like, they look cool. They have cool ships.
I mean, yeah. If we go back to what our top 10 characters lists, I mean, I think Darth Vader was pretty high on my.
All three of us had Darth Vader really high.
Yeah, because that's one of the best villains in movie history. But
you, I mean, you
I don't glorify the Empire.
Exactly. You got to find that they're
Hey, it's bad. Pretty cool how they rule with fear. Yeah, I like that.
I love when they send AT-STs into a crowd just to disperse them. I love it.
Yes.
And listen, if you can't see the parallel there, folks,
I don't know what you're looking at, man. I just don't know what to tell you.
Again, I digress. I digress. Because I really genuinely think this franchise is for everybody. And I think no matter what you hold in your heart, you can watch Star Wars and get a good message out of it for yourself. But you can't ignore the facts that are laced out in front of you from the writers. The quality of this episode is not so great, in my opinion. That being said, their commentary only kind of works, and also I wasn't actually a huge fan of the plot of this one. Because it feels like every Clone Wars episode ever. In the sense that it's like, this guy's in trouble! The clones gotta save him!
But beat him up! Beat him up!
What?
Oh, I was like, oh yeah, the clones beat him up, and then the guy that they're saving, the guy or the girl they're saving, does like something that actually helps them.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
AKA, and then throw the vase.
This stupid senator, this stink man, realizes that, oh, I can use the vase. I didn't like it anyways. Like,
quote Bennett there, this stink man.
Because, I don't know, he's a separatist senator. He wasn't a great guy either.
It's Stink Man.
Have we seen him before? Is he a character that has been in something else before?
No.
Because
I mean, when he's in the walker, he like without his little hat or whatever, he looked relatively similar to old Rex and Rebels to me. Like the bald head and the beard a little bit, but that was, I don't know, that was like one scene when he was in the walker.
Now, if indeed he's never been in anything before,
I don't think so.
For the first time, we have not had a callback character.
Ha!
Finally. Like, looking at the cast, it was actually a pretty bare bones cast. This feels like a budget saver. but it just was an. I don't know. He was a weird character because we're supposed to kind of sympathize with him because he's standing up to the Empire. But we also have to remember the Separatists did also just kind of kill people.
Kind of.
Especially you watch The Mandalorian, and for the first time ever, we see how scary super battle droids are. They like came into that town and just killed the Din Djarin's entire village.
Yep.
Until the Mandalorian saved him. So it's like, and I think that's part of the commentary, like the political commentary that Star Wars often puts out, the shades of gray, which is why I will continue to assert that there isn't necessarily a side of the aisle they're appealing to. Because there are a lot of shades of gray. Look at characters like DJ from episode 8, as much as he was a ridiculous character, don't get me wrong. Like,
made some sense.
He made some sense. Like, the whole idea of don't join either side is really terrible. Kind of the exposing that the people who make the X-Wings also profit off of the TIE Fighters was pretty crazy. Like, Sinar and the other people who make the X-Wings were kind of somehow connected. Wild. And that arms traders are the ones who connect them. So it's like, again, very obviously a commentary, but also just complicates things and adds to the depth of the Bad Batches episode this week, but it just really didn't do it for me. I don't know if I can put it to words. How was it for you?
This episode?
Yeah, this episode in particular.
Yeah, I mean, like I texted Bennett, I said the only real thing that I got from this episode, because like you said, it was an episode that, I mean, if you threw a couple different, like, If you play video games, you know what I mean, by different skins. If you threw different skins on these characters, if they give them different looks, and you just threw it in one of the seasons of the Clone Wars and I watched it, it would just be the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, yeah. So you describing it as like a pretty generic Clone Wars episode, just with the Bad Batch characters. It makes sense to me. The only thing that I see from this episode and that we've kind of started to continue to, that we've seen throughout the series since we've seen our buddy Omega is, I mean, we learned about, well, I don't know if it learned because, I mean, with the iteration about the whole prime DNA stuff, you know, it makes sense, but the whole strategy thing is the only thing I took from this episode. About Omega and how their Omega's grown up and all that, and how the strategy might play a factor later. Like, I'm sure there's going to be an episode where Omega schemes something up and it helps them get out of some jam. You can write that down if you want to. I'm sure that'll happen. That's all I got, though. That's all that I got from this episode is that, oh, Omega's good at strategy. So, well, and then what's interesting too is that they're out of debt with Sid. So where does that take them now? Do they help Sid out with another mission, or did they say, hey, screw it, we're done with our debt, we're out of here?
And you know, that's a great question, and I want to touch on the Omega thing first. It's I think it's showing that she has some Django in her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that,
well, I mean, she literally is
she's like, by other accounts, basically his daughter.
Yep.
Okay. First things first.
Omega.
We don't know why she was created.
Nope.
We don't really know how.
And I really hope that they explore that. I hope that's not like a loose end that gets away.
Because we don't know. First off, they need to explain how. Because, you know, Django's been dead for the better part of 6 years now.
Because how old is, do we know how old Omega is?
No, we don't. That's another thing. Like, so first off, what gets confusing is the gap between 2 and 3. I think there's actually not a set gap between the two. I think the most widely accepted is 3, but the way that the Clone Wars flows makes you think it's about 5 to 6. So it's an estimate, really. So she could have been made from Jango's DNA secretly right before he died, right? She could have been made from Boba's DNA, which would still make her first gen, which would be a little weird, because that would make her basically Jango's granddaughter.
Ugh.
Now, I'm going to do a theory. It's baseless. Actually, it's not baseless.
No base.
What if she's not a clone? What if she's actually just Jango Fett's daughter? Secret daughter.
Well, then that brings into question who the mother is.
Exactly. So, in my mind, nothing has explicitly said she's a clone. Well, okay, hold on. Nothing has explicitly shown that she's a clone.
Yeah, I mean, they've said it, but you can say things and then be wrong.
And also say it to protect her from the fact that that she's biologically Jango Fett's daughter who was killed. And to protect her from the fact that she's that important. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could be the one-for-one DNA match they need for Jango, because we already know she is. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. I think that's just that was a theory that I kind of was cooking up throughout this week. I don't think it'll happen. I think she is a clone. She's just special. But the reason I think of it, it solely comes down to the why is she girl? Why is she a girl? Why would they just decide to do that? And that's not saying like, well, they'd only make men because men are superior. It's because why would they just all of a sudden say, we're making a perfect Jango clone, except we're doing female instead of male? It's a little interesting. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah.
There's no real logistic reason. So if that's a plot hole, it's a plot hole. That's fine. I don't necessarily need why she's a female to be explained, because I really like the character and I don't think her gender or sex is like prevalent enough for me to question why she is the way she is. She's just a very good, well-written character, and I think she's an awesome role model, just like Rey is, for a younger female audience, even older female audience, and basically all audience. But if they do want to do an in-universe explanation, that would be really intriguing. I do hope they tell us why she was created, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I figure that we have to touch back on that, right? I think we have to. There's some things that maybe next episode, I want to lay down some of the plot points we're looking at, because I think we still have to. What's the other? Not Moff Tarkin. What's his name?
Rampart.
We still have to see our buddy Rampart and his whole, you know, scheme plan that's all putting the Kaminoans in danger.
Right.
Cad Bane might be lurking out there. I don't really know how much stake I put in that necessarily. We still have to visit Rex again, I'm sure, and whatever he's working with, whatever conglomerate that he's a part of. So Omega's background is just a gigantic question mark, you know.
To me, you answer the Omega question and you answer pretty much all of the other threads of the show, except for Crosshair.
Oh, yeah. And then our buddy Crosshair's. Yeah. See what I mean? Crosshair's still hanging out. And it's like, well, I mean, do we see him revert back to his buddies, or is he just bad forever and he's just going to die? I think he dies.
That's just a continuous question. We talked a little bit about last week, but like, I don't know if he's in too deep. I hope he's not. It'd be nice to see him turn back to the good, but his ruthlessness just, to me, shows that it's not going to happen. Yeah, episode 10 was just interesting because I don't think it was a momentum killer. I think it not as much as the Moochie episode and not so much as Cut and Run. Because Cut and Run, listen, Cut and Run was a very emotional episode with interpersonal dynamic development, but it didn't really do anything for the story. It just showed that Cut didn't get affected by Order 66, which we kind of already assumed. And it didn't really do much else, which is eh. But Mucci's Rampage was a huge momentum killer. It, coming off of that Fennec Shand episode right into that was just, you could honestly take that episode away, go from a Fennec Shand episode right into episode six, and it'd be we'd be off way better. So I don't think this episode killed the momentum as hard, but I do still feel like it was a stumble because we didn't really get a lot of forward movement on any of the story threads that we're looking at quite yet. I think it's starting to break down Hunter's reluctance to maybe join some sort of rebellion. We know it's not the rebellion because obviously that starts in Rebels. But maybe we're looking at a beginning. Do you want to hear these leaked title episodes?
Yeah, sure, give it to me.
So yeah, folks, if you don't want to hear them, click off now. Maybe fast forward to the end. This might take up the rest of the episode, so very sorry because there is some intriguing stuff in here. Nothing that'll like spoil anything, but still some pretty interesting stuff. So the first leaked one was episode 10. I don't even think it's leaked. I think it's just like how it is. First one, episode 10 is Common Ground. It's one we just watched. And this kind of confirms that this list is real. Next one, Devil's Deal. That's what next week's episode is called. Now that could mean all sorts of things.
A difficult deal's being made with a
It could be a hostage thing. It could be like a we'll fake give you Omega to get Crosshair back. Save Crosshair and get Omega back.
think it's but that would then get sticky, I bet.
But that would get really hard to do, and it would put Omega in grave danger, which I don't think the group is ready to do yet. This one is one of the more ambiguous titles, I'll let you know right now. It is, especially because we had nothing really set up. I think this might have to do with Bounty Hunters. It sounds like a Bounty Hunter episode title. The devil could be anybody from Tarkin to Rampart to Cad Bane to a new character we haven't seen yet. So,
Banks.
yep, the devil himself. We just don't know this one. This one's interesting because it is pretty ambiguous.
Do
Now,
like that.
I'd like to draw your attention to episode 12's title, Rescue on Ryloth. So we're going back to Ryloth, the planet Ryloth, which is, pretty important in Rebels. It's where I think a lot of the Thrawn shit goes down. It's also where Hera Syndulla is from.
Twi'leks.
What did you just say?
Oh, it's a mainly Twi'lek
Oh
planet.
yeah, it's a Twi'lek planet. So, who are
That's
they rescuing?
interesting.
Who are they rescuing? Could it be possible they're rescuing Hera Syndulla? Is that who Rex is working for? XYZ, so on and so forth. This to me is the biggest episode title leaked or given out. Because that's pretty huge. Ryloth is a huge planet for Rebels. And I mean, it was pretty big in the first couple seasons of the Clone Wars as well. Doesn't the whole Malevolence story arc takes place on Ryloth?
Isn't the Malevolence a ship, though?
Yeah, but the Malevolence is over.
Arc is. Oh, yeah.
Like it's
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure it's over Ryloth.
So Ryloth, big planet. I'm interested to see who's they're rescuing. It'd be kind of annoying if they're rescuing Omega again, because that's already happened in the last
two episodes. Yeah, watch. The Devil's Deal, whatever, is just going to be, they're going to try to do something and it'll slip up with Omega and they'll have to go get Omega. I hope not. That would be a kind of get stuck in a rut.
Especially after this week's episode was also just another extraction rescue mission. I hope we don't get into the monotony of Star Wars rescues, because that's kind of just what the Clone Wars... I think that was my biggest fault with the Clone Wars. It was like, rescue Palpatine! Now Padme! Now this random senator you're never going to see again!
Huh, Palpatine got trapped again. Go get him again.
And it's like, hey, if you didn't, we'd be in a much better space. So yeah, rescue on Ryloth to me, that's just intriguing. Who's your bet?
I don't know if I can watch that be a new character or a character we haven't seen yet in the show. I wonder if that's where we get Rex back. Rex is like, hey, I need you guys. And then that's finally where Hunter's like, fine, I guess we'll become part of this freaking rebellion. I think if you go to rescue Omega in that episode, you're kind of, I think that's a screw up. I think that's a disappointment if you do that, because that's what, two episodes from now?
Yeah,
because that's not the next one.
It's not the next one. That's not the next
one. Okay, yeah, Devil's Deal is the next one. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't feel that it's going to be, I don't know, in my mind, I think I want to go Occam's Razor and just say that it's going to be Omega. However, it'd be cool if it was Hera. I think that would really, you know, get us some plot furtherment, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and whatever. Let's talk this next episode title. Kind of just it points towards a creature feature, Infested. That to me sounds like the Mandalorian episode with the spiders. So I just had a thought. Absolutely, fuck that.
No more spiders, please.
No more spiders, please.
Infested or infected?
Infested.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't care for it if they did more of that weird creature stuff. I'm kind of tired of it because the Clone Wars did a lot of it. We already had a whole ass episode about Moochie, and then we had, holy shit, which episode was the one with the thing that eats energy?
Like one of the first ones, right?
Was it the second one with Cut? I don't recall. Anyways, we've had creature features before. I don't like them. I think they're boring. I'd much rather deal with an opponent who actually has like a brain.
You know what's cool? There's no way they approach it in this series. You'll probably remember the name of it. It's Project Lamplight or something? Or with something with the zombies.
Oh,
that would be a series.
Death.
Star. It's like Project Something.
Well, okay, so the original novel was called Death Troopers, which is where they had.
I don't like that name as much.
Which is where they had the zombies. But then they redubbed it something else. There you go. Oh, Project 171A, I-71A. Blackwing.
Project Blackwing, that would be something, if done right, that would be really cool. But I don't know if Disney takes that zombie horror approach. I don't think they do.
Project Blackwing, which was just recently, I think, canonized officially. Oh, no, 2014, that's wild.
That would be cool though at some point.
Blackwing, the V kind of That'd be kind of crazy. Maybe that's something for the Mandalorian to deal with.
Oh, you know what that makes me think of is that only, I don't know why, but only because that one episode in season one where they go to save the Twi'lek's brother.
Oh, on the spaceship.
Yeah, and then he cuts the power, whatever, and it's flashing red.
Because that was like fucking Alien, except you were rooting for the alien.
Yeah, and that was one of my favorite episodes just because of that sequence. That was cool. And then, oh no, I forgot his name. The guy that they kill.
Oh, Matt Lanter.
Yeah, that's Matt Lanter. I was like, hey, I didn't even know that. But yeah, no, that was a cool sequence. Anyway.
Now, speaking of projects, the final episode of this batch of episodes revealed is called Warmantle. So I'm guessing we see full conversion to stormtroopers, and I'm guessing we see a little more of Rampart and a little more of Crosshair. I don't think Warmantle. I mean, we've never seen this happen before.
What? You know what I
mean? We've never seen it. We've never seen the process of the change from stormtroopers to clone troopers into stormtroopers.
Oh, that conversion.
We never have seen it happen on screen. So for us to get an entire episode supposedly dedicated to it.
Well, I hope they're longer.
I would guess that the last two episodes are going to be long.
Yeah.
Warmantle's,
I think also too. With that episode, we finally get Bad Batch full-fledging into joining the Rebellion or whatever the hell Rex is doing. I have to feel like that's where we segue to, because I don't really think we get a second season of this. Because, I mean, because the episode of the purpose of this show, from what I understood and what I remember, is that it shows the Bad Batch, like the title description shows the Bad Batch trying to survive post Order 66 and, you know, living life throughout the Empire, throughout the times of the Empire or the beginning of the Empire. So, I mean, if you do, it would be kind of cool to see them do Rebel stuff, but I don't know if that's in the cards necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a lot of the issues that come out of that. Why Blackwing is like the third most popular page on Wikipedia right now.
Because it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. That book is gross and disgusting, actually. So if you ever want to read a nice Star Wars horror, that is a brilliant choice. Han Solo's in it. There you go. There,
really?
If you're sold on Han Solo, there you go. Warmantle to me is really interesting because I think it'll show either the birth of stormtroopers or death troopers. We'll see. And also, it's also something that's been kind of built up. Rogue One actually mentions the Project Warmantle. So we'll see how it goes. I am hesitant to I guess I'm hesitant to believe that these episode titles are one for one what they're going to be. Just because the first one was right doesn't mean the rest of them are going to be right. I think that they were released by Disney Plus, but we know that they're a tricky bunch over there. So we'll see. They hid an entire series from us. I don't know how they did that, quite Which honestly. One? The Book of Boba.
Oh, yeah.
They like quite literally just said, oh, and by the way, we're doing other show.
What?
And I mean, I think our predictions of the Bad Batch dying might be not so true anymore, just because I feel like this is bound to have a second season. It's been having pretty ridiculous reviews and ridiculous like attention.
just because of the draw of Omega, you know, and the draw of the rest of Bad Batch's relationship with her.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that was something like, as the loading screens came up for the show today, I was like, I wonder about the show's viewership. Because, I mean, as we watch both of these this week, I mean, as we watch both of these shows weekly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Loki and the Bad Batch.
I mean, Loki gets so much attention.
Which is crazy, because apparently Loki, so huge. Apparently Loki lost like 20% of its viewers this week.
How?
I have no idea. I have no idea. That's such a quality show. But it, you bring a good point. People are so fanatic about this Marvel stuff.
And I don't know. I don't really get, like, if you go on at midnight when Loki drops, and you just go on Twitter, there's all this stuff.
Yeah, the shit that happened in the episode is already trending.
Yeah, and personally, I don't see that with Bad Batch.
The last thing that trended from Bad Batch was Rex. And I think Cad Bane had a very brief time on the trending list.
So, you know what I mean? What I'm getting at with that. So it's interesting to see that contrast comparison there. And that could just be the way that the two fandoms, you know, are on the internet.
Well, I think what you're looking at is... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know. It's just interesting to see that, I guess. To see, you know, like Loki and how, like you were saying, things are already up there by the time it's like midnight and we're ready to count down and there's stuff already on Twitter.
Yeah,
and then with Bad Batch, it's like, I don't know. At least for me, I don't get much of anything. So it's I don't know. It's interesting to see that contrast there.
And part of it to me, I think, is also just the discrepancy between viewers who will watch an animated TV series versus something like The Mandalorian. Like The Mandalorian, and I don't say this lightly. I know a lot of people on Twitter fucking say this shit all the time. The Mandalorian was a cultural reset for Star Wars. Like,
I agree with that.
I think it literally turned the entire fandom on its head because it gave us something to all agree that it was brilliant. Except for you fucking The Last Jedi heads. I don't know what the fuck is up with you guys, but like, you suddenly
that's a cult.
Yeah, you guys have suddenly hated everything Star Wars has done since your shitty fanfic movie. So like,
but Rian Johnson, good.
I might have came a little too hard there. Sorry, you guys, but it's just like, you go on Twitter, they're like, the Mandalorian is just fan service. All it is appealing.
Oh yeah, those people.
All it is appealing to what Star Wars already. It's not. It's nothing new. And I'm like, hey, first off,
those are just people that don't like when people like things.
Yeah, it's very contrarian, and it's very, my favorite Star Wars is The Last Jedi because I'm different.
Yep.
Those
people, I hate those people. It's like, go piss off.
I don't think I hate them, but
I do. It's like the guys that are at the guys that are at, like, say a game, and they don't have any vested interest in either team, but they're just like, oh,
they root for whoever the home game isn't.
Screw them. It's like,
okay. I knew some folks who were like that in middle school where they just hated the Seahawks. I don't know why. But whenever somebody else would come into town, they're all of a sudden like a super fan for the Carolina Panthers.
It's like, you're a Titans fan, dude.
Philadelphia Eagles. It's like, who are you rooting for? The Eagles?
I don't know. I just think that mindset's weird.
It is weird. And like the contrarian mindset. Okay, listen, I do believe there are some Ride or Die Last Jedi fans out there who aren't intolerable.
Yeah. Like,
they're not all of you guys, but certainly some of you who just shoot down everything else Star Wars put out. It's really obnoxious to the rest of the fans. And I get it. We shit hard on that movie a lot, which is probably frustrating. I mean,
there are some things in it that I'm okay with. Like,
I don't know how you can defend all of the Casino Planet. Canto Bight.
Oh god.
Like, I don't know how you defend what they did there.
Rose kissing Finn.
It's not what we hate, it's about what we love.
I thought the Red Room
awesome sentiment. Weird delivery.
Yeah.
Weird delivery. Like, why?
The way that you got, I mean, the trip itself, like the whole idea behind the trip, solid. How you got there,
I mean, and hey, I'm going to say something controversial. While we're on the topic of episode 8, which we often do land on, the sequel trilogy could have been as big of a reset as The Mandalorian is. Could have had the same effect the Clone Wars had on the fandom.
If it was done right.
If they just had the same writer do all three movies.
And they gave him time to do it?
Yeah, and they gave him the appropriate measures to do it. And I'm saying this, saying that even if it was Rian Johnson who wrote all three movies, it would probably be a lot better than what we ended up getting. Because we'd have the consistency of writing and of flow of thought, rather than here's an episode about new beginnings. Okay, now here's an episode about throwing all those new beginnings in the trash and saying we're built different. And then here's an episode that literally starts with somehow Palpatine has returned. What?
What?
Like, okay.
Well, the word I think is key that you said, I want to just grab this, is that you said flow. Because as soon as I came into the theater and I watched, what was that again? What was episode 9's title? Rise of Skywalker. It was like the first 10 minutes are just like, I'm going through hyperspace, not like it literally, but I'm going through hyperspace trying to catch up with all the bullshit that's going on.
And also in those 10 minutes, it completely undoes everything.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys, we're just going to like take the undoing that was episode 8 and undo it. It's like, oh, okay.
So then we look at things like The Mandalorian, which has one of the most consistent voices I've seen. And then you even look at The Bad Batch, and while I have been a critic of the tone of the show's tone switching, the consistency of the characters has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It just, again, I know we did this during The Mandalorian too, and I just want to emphasize the fact that I'm not just shitting on the sequels, because I am a pretty big sequel defender. But if we had that character consistency with Finn, Rey, and that was a big one. That was one of those freaking MP50s or whatever the fuck they're called. I just, there was a big firework. It shook my window.
Oh, I was like,
If we had that character consistency, the sequels would have been fantastic. If we had those writers stay on for all three movies instead of trying to do the secret squirrel, we're going to switch them out so no leaks can happen. Because then you look at The Bad Batch, you have Jennifer Corbett writing these episodes, and she's just pumping out these amazing characters week in and week out. The cameos I'm not so hot on, as I just said. And then look at The Mandalorian, which switches writers but has a pretty consistent voice.
You got to look at those writers. Those are some pretty top tier writers.
That's true. And that's what is interesting to me too, because okay, listen, J.J. Abrams, for all his fault, big Hollywood director, whatever, decent writer, I'll say that. You can say anything about his directing, I'd say he's an okay writer. You look at Rian Johnson, who made Knives Out, which is fantastic. And then you look at episode 9, who I think was Chris Terrio and also J.J. Abrams. And I mean, these people are good writers. It's just the fact that they kept scrambling the voice without talking to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, to go back to The Mandalorian, you're Star Wars, okay? Right. You have the ability to get those resources. So I don't know if it was Disney that made them rush this and have it just be completely fucked, but it was complete. Like, again, to go back to it, you are Disney. It's not like you're short on resources. This is not some indie movie.
Right.
You've got all, and I'm sure there are people, there are directors out there. Well, I'm sure there's some give and take with, you know, being said, hey, do you want to direct a Star Wars movie? I'm sure there are people like this is in like, they know if whatever I do, like I could get a majority of people who like it, then there still be people who will give me death threats because they do not like the product that I put out.
Exactly.
But I mean, we look, this just goes back to The Mandalorian. I mean, if they've got the great writers and I'm sure they take their time and they all talk to each other, and it goes to the MCU. Okay. I mean, Throw it out there if I'm wrong, Bennett. But aside for a few things like the Hulk movie, And I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that MCU is 100% perfect, but they all tie you into each other. They take their time. I'm not saying all the movies are perfect. Thor 2 was weird. Hulk
Right.
was weird, but there's a consistency level there. There's a communication level that's, throughout the movies, and they do that through how many movies are we at now?
A lot now.
Around 30.
Yeah.
And there's TV shows, and it's just like, it's amazing that they've done that. Obviously, that's unprecedented considering it hasn't been replicated anywhere.
Right.
But yeah, it's just it, when I think about it, when I think about the resources that Star Wars as a whole have, and Disney has, Disney itself, that's a whole other thing. It's disappointing at the end of the day. Because again, like we said, I'm not saying everything in the sequels is bad. I liked the Red Room scene in Episode 8. I thought that fight scene was cool.
Fantastic.
I thought the first movie was fine. I mean, really, I thought that was there was some building blocks there. But yeah, I mean, I'm just disappointed considering that what the potential was, just with the resources you could have had. And like you said, if we get the consistency there with J.J. Abrams, or if somehow Rian Johnson is the director and the guy for all three. But yeah, obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, it I think that when you look at, I think again, the Bad Batch's shining moment is found in its characters. And I think as the show goes on, if you provide a satisfying character-driven conclusion, you create a good series that'll get picked up for a second season. I don't see a possibility in which they don't get a second season because it's not popular enough. The Clone Wars literally pulled itself out of the ashes. If it weren't for the fans, we straight up wouldn't have season seven. We straight up wouldn't have this show.
Nope.
So big ups to that. But Disney has a real issue with the movies right now, and I'm really interested to see if they can save long-term or long-form Star Wars. Because these short form episodes, they're really conducive to Star Wars' success, but movies are the bread and butter. Do you really want to switch your bread and butter to TV? Because it's a gamble. It really is a gamble. Because if this ends up being a fad, say season three of The Mandalorian somehow bombs, if that happens and you lose one of your biggest money makers to fan interest, what do? How do you go back to movies? How can you promise that success? I don't you really can't. So it's an interesting thing to note that the biggest things they've bungled have been the movies. When it's so easier to bungle a TV show, you know what I mean? Like it's
Yeah, it's like
so like and the fact
you
that
do
The
great on the
Mandalorian
homework, but just take an absolute crap on the big test.
exactly, like the tests, they're just failing them. And I wouldn't even say that the sequel trilogy was a failure. I just think that the fan reaction to them was so strong.
I mean, if it was like 30%, which is like, oh, it's like, okay, who cares?
But
But it was
the
not 30%.
exactly, like the disheartening thing about the Star Wars fandom right now, usually you can say, oh, it's just a really loud, small group that doesn't like the sequels. It is, it's, I wouldn't say it's close to majority. I'd say it's like 60-40. 60% like it, 40% don't.
I can agree with
Maybe
that.
something more like 50% like it, 20% hate it, and 30% just do not care. And I'm slowly finding myself in that 30% camp of just being like, the sequels were the sequels and we can move on from them. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go on, go on Star Wars Reddit, be like, oh, let's talk about the sequels today. I'm interested to see. Well, I'm a little upset that we might. I don't know if it's official. I think we talked about this already, last week's episode or the week before, about Mando being not just straight segue from Book of Boba Fett, because I was under the impression that it would be. So now I'm like, oh, I have to wait longer.
There's some definite
Question mark.
rumblings that the Mandalorian season three will come out somewhere in February or March.
I mean, in February, I guess it's not horrible, but that's probably the longest we've had to wait for a Mando season, right?
Yeah, it'll be a year and a couple months, which sucks. And not to get all scary time on you, but we are kind of getting close to Book of Boba. We're only 5 months away from that.
Jeez.
So, yeah. I guess if you look back to the time where we were clamoring for content, it doesn't seem like that short of a time, because that felt long. You know what I mean? That span between The Mandalorian and Bad Batch felt like forever.
It was.
But now that we're heading more towards the content overflow that is going to be Visions, Book of Boba, then Mandalorian, I don't think I'm too worried about that content gap, especially if we get Untitled going. I'd love to be able to segue and tell you guys when that's going to come out, but alas. But I think that's all we have for you today, folks. This was a little bit of a long one again, but that's kind of okay. We're coming to episodes. That's fine.
Did we give a rating for this episode?
Oh, yeah. When do you want to give this episode? You go first.
Five.
I was feeling a slight six.
I was thinking about six, but when I think about the fact that all I got from this episode was, you know, some semblance of character building for Omega. Like I say some semblance, because again, it's not like it's a lot of like character development. It's just, oh yeah, Omega's good at strategy, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't really, I mean, maybe I'll bump it to 5.5 just because of that.
Yep. Sitting right there in the middle. Six. I'll stand by six. I think for a lot of the same reasons, it was just kind of a nothing episode. I think I texted you the word mediocre right when it ended.
Yep.
Maybe it's just because, like, I don't know, Loki is really taking over my brain right now. And just what happened in this week's episode was just, it's just so much on my mind. Crocodile Loki is my son. Like, I've been thinking about Loki a lot. And boy, I'm glad that episode didn't get spoiled for me at all. Like, I thought it did for a second, because I thought I read something about a certain character showing up in it. But then I was like, oh, thank Mephisto. God. Yeah, it's Mephisto. By the time, oh my God, that's the devil's deal. It's Mephisto. Oh my God.
The we prestige, get our crossover.
The prestige. They tricked us all. But anyways, yeah, this episode is pretty mediocre. I think the Bad Batch's ending score is going to be pretty abysmal, because we've had some pretty low ratings in here so far. Anyways, yep, I think this is it now for real, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I don't even put the link in my bio anymore. We're still getting some listeners. I'll put that back in. I deleted it because I thought I had to change my pronouns in my bio.
Dingus.
But I didn't. It's like just right there. I was like, where do I put my he, him, his? Where do I put that, huh? And I was like, oh, Instagram put in a new feature. I didn't need to delete my whole ass bio.
Awesome. Yeah, freaking ding dong.
So I got to put that back in there.
But you know there's a slot for a website, right?
Yeah, that's where it used to be. I was very confused by the new form fill out. I'm kind of a grandfather when it comes to technology. I won't lie.
How do I work this again?
I put my glasses like down on my nose. Okay, for real. Goodbye. Chuck, do a noise.